ak sa illustrabilité fi mi ngi ko dox même temps danga fu nu foole ci wi ni pamgoyt if we start with the main report of the department there will be the first part will be whether the report in its entirety does in fact fulfill its own vision and mission and the values that they have determined as their guiding principles. If we then go beyond that, we'll have to look at the laws that they have to comply with, but not only that, but also those laws that they have to be operationalizing, and see if there are any laws that they are neglecting in terms of their day-to-day operations. Once we go beyond that, then we deal with the issue of the programs, the specific statements that have been made by the minister and the accounting officer in this report before we go to the programs. I suggest we pause a little bit and check whether members have any comments on each area that I've just enumerated. On the vision, the mission, and the values, is there anybody who wants to make a comment as to whether when you went through this report there were indications that these have been dealt with and covered and they guided the department in doing their work? I'll pause a little bit.
Chairperson, I suppose it would be a very subjective input that you are requiring, but the thing that struck me is that the vision and the mission are very thin in this department. One sentence each. And if you look at the vision and the mission, and you consider the work that we've done this year, there are fundamental problems with the department achieving their mission. You know, to catalyze and implement an integrated rural development program, the problems out there on the ground with rural development and land reform are myriad. And recapitalization has become the curse of this department. Not in that anybody wants to prevent the department recapitalizing and making land more productive, but the fact that recapitalization has become standard. Even this morning, the minister made an announcement that 3 billion rand is going to be made available to recapitalize, in inverted commas, farms, 70 or 700 farms, I forget, in Limpopo. We don't know about that. I don't see it anywhere in the budget. And why are we recapitalizing those farms? Why were they allowed to become unproductive or to be collapsed to the extent that they have to be recapitalized? Or did the department buy farms that were in such a state of decay that they required capitalization? Now, I went to Craddock the other day, Chair. And in Craddock, originally land was procured for the sugar beet project, and now it's become the biofuel project. All those farms were going concerns. And 2 years later, many of them are in a state of deterioration. So they too will have to be recapitalized. And that's money that the department should be plowing into acquiring more land and stimulating the rural economy, but it's going to fix up properties that have gone into reverse.
I take note, Fagu, on two parts on what you said. The first one is that clearly we will be subjective in looking at whether the department is fulfilling its vision and mission. But then there are specifics in that subjective view relating to a gap between the acquisition and the operationalization of farms. Remember that operationalization has to do with the deployment of people. So we're looking at three areas. whether the department has the capacity to transform and translate its own mission into an operational plan. If we look at the strategic plan of the department, is it in fact preparing the department to implement this vision and mission, and does it have the capacity to do so? The second issue is whether it has the tools to operationalize those and use all the partners which are stipulated in the report, and use that as a guide to measure whether the time it takes to acquire and the time it takes to deploy people on those farms to operationalize them, so that we'll measure the costs of the cost by the gap in the operationalization. We will make note of this point and see if we are going to capture it in the recommendations. Because the issue for me is that this is the long-term vision. It cannot be the event, but the event is the actual acquisition of farms and the operationalization of them and the capacity of the department to do so. Let's make note of that and move forward. Any other comment? Okay, we move on. Let's look at the pieces of legislation that have been passed so far and see if they enable the department to perform the functions. Sometimes the piece of legislation would be in the books, but it will not be used because there is no budget for it. And if members have no comment, I'll move on.
Can I just ask, Jim? About legislation, not necessarily what you were saying, whether it's applicable and whether it helps to achieve. But we've hit a sort of, I don't know, hiatus with legislation, two very important pieces of legislation. The Green Paper on Rural Development. We had some progress. The department came to brief us for the first time. I know the work is ongoing with those six, I forget what they call them, but those six stakeholder groups. But we've had no real progress on that matter, and I just wondered whether we're any closer to finalizing that legislation. And then SPLUM, Chair, apart from missing a deadline, we were going at it hammer and tong with the department, and now things seem to have slowed down again. Is it because the legislation has been considered by senior counsel, and what are the projected timeframes for us to look at and finalize that legislation?
In fact, you're raising two things. I want the members, other than myself and you, to make comments on these matters. It may be important in the point here is that the Green Paper is not regarded by themselves as an existing piece of legislation, but it purely creates policies that will then become framework for those pieces of legislation. We have requested them to give us progress reports on those work streams that they call as functional groups for consultation purposes. Perhaps what we need to do is to put it down as one of those things that we would have to follow up with the department going forward. On the second thing is this plan. SPLUM is a complex bill, FACO, as you know. And because Fortunately, we are not lawyers. I'm saying fortunately because if we were lawyers, lawyers, depending on which universities they went to, they interpret law from various angles, depending on what their various professors taught them. We have then decided that after we have completed all processes of consultation and things, let us ask the senior counsel to advise us on the constitutionality, or shall I say constitutional compliance of that bill. And the advocate has advised us that he too agrees with us that that bill is too complex and wide-ranging. It needs research from their side. He wanted to hire a junior advocate to do the research whilst he would then read and conclude and make a remarks to advise us. We disagreed with him because we do not have the funds for the second advocate. So he then said because of that it will take him a long time to finish because he has to guard for his own credibility and professional status. So he says we have been following him and pushing him. He phoned, was it Monday? Yeah, he phoned on Monday and said, please give me 2 weeks, I'll be done in 2 weeks. So it is very clear that we may complete the work in the House after 2 weeks, but the NCOB will not be able to do so in this financial year. Sorry, in this current calendar year. So we will have to work with them and advise them in terms of what we have done. There are specifically two things in the bill that we worried about. The first one is what the lawyers have been saying to us. Like I said, the lawyers interpret what the law tells them from the point of view of their own professors. They were telling us that that law has nothing to do with customary law, and therefore it does not have to go to the House of Traditional Leaders. We have asked the advocate to give us an advice on this matter. He thinks that the lawyers have erred, and he suggests that we should ask, I don't know whether we should ask the speaker or somebody, to take it there. It does not mean that if we pass it, those comments from the House of Traditional Leaders would not find their way into the NCOP process. But at least we would have done our task of consulting the House of Traditional Leaders. The second part in our concern is remember that the Constitutional Court has taken a decision that land use planning is the responsibility of local authorities. Others must act in support of local authorities rather than interfering in the work that must be done by local authorities, but rather give them capacity to perform their function properly. So the tasks to the advocate is to look at those things that are there in Annexure A and B. Is it Annexure A and B? No? To check whether there are no function shifts of province and national interfering or getting involved in this, in the domain of municipalities. We think that the advocate will give us in 2 weeks his advice on those matters. And then we take the process forward. Can I move on then?
Which advocate is looking at it? Because there were two names when we were...
We approached both of them, Jeff Butlander and Ishmael Jamie. And Jeff Butlander said he's engaged, he cannot do it. So we then gave the work to Ishmael Jamie. So he's the one who's we're expecting advice from. But it will be helpful if members it would be helpful if members would speak to as many people as possible to give us advice on this piece of legislation before we conclude it. Because once it's concluded and passed in the House, all flaws are going to be on ours as a committee. They are not going to be in lawyers, they are not going to be on the department. It will be this committee that is going to be judged as a weak link in the process of making the law. So it is advisable that let's welcome everybody to participate and give us advice on pieces and areas which we as the committee have dealt with here. Kosiam, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You mentioned that the planning land, planning of land is the work of the local authority. We have municipality, we have the traditional leadership. Which authority that has that responsibility to perform?
Okay, Kosiam.
No, that was just one to add in on what Mdwana said. We've currently had an issue which also brought my attention to this issue of land demarcation. There's an border dispute between the two traditional councils. And when we inquired from MDB, that is the Municipal Demarcation Board, it was outside their jurisdiction. And when we also inquired from rural development, they also were not able to help. But when we went to the regional offices in Mthatha, being land affairs, that's where we were able to find Abilimi, who came out to look at the issues of demarcation and actually were able to assist us as to how to understand where Mvezo starts and ends, as well as Kaka, where it starts and ends. So I'm very interested as to who is actually the person that leads the issues of land demarcation in as far as the department is concerned, because we seemingly in practice on the ground that is not clearly defined. And again, land affairs comes to a traditional council saying that we should give land to our people. So if you give land away because it's communal land, how do you then ensure that that person really has a paper that is informative to him that that is their property? Thank you, sir.
It's not an interview, anti-interview. It is the committee that at the end must point at the direction we must go. Let's start with the role of traditional councils in the land use planning schemes. That must be undertaken by municipalities. Kosiam, if you remember clearly, we in this committee suggested that line, that clause that was dealing with that matter. It was saying may, and then we changed it to say must, because we had a view that says some local authorities, especially those that are against traditional councils and traditional leaders' role in municipalities, will use the may to indicate that they have an option to involve them or not to involve them. So we as the committee decided that we have to force the municipalities to work with traditional councils on land use schemes and even SDFs. That's the first part goes. The second issue relates to the boundaries of traditional areas, or shall I say communal land. Remember that a traditional council governs a piece of land of that particular tribe. And the municipality has now been given authority over all wards that are within those boundaries that are governed by the traditional council under the leadership of their traditional leader. So we in this committee, looking at that bill, have indicated that those two must work together to determine what each piece of land should be used for. And once they agree, then that land use scheme will then become a tool for development by the municipality and the traditional council. So perhaps what we need to do is to look at that bill and say, is it very clear? Because Nibuza Njengosi is because senili belela bill babesiyenzi yachaza lento siyithethayo. The last issue relates to demarcation costs. The demarcation of wards is the responsibility of the demarcation board. But all countries, all over the world, a ward is determined according to particular rules. If the traditional council led by the traditional leader do not participate in the demarcation itself, physical boundaries of a ward, that work will be a technical work of the demarcation board, drawing lines on a piece of paper, on a map, and say this ward will start here and end there, even breaking traditional tribal areas into pieces and placing councillors that may not even be answerable to the traditional council to be in charge of those wards. So it is an important matter, Ngosuba, Nina, in terms of the traditional council, must participate in the demarcation, so that the demarcation board, when they finally draw lines, it must be because they've done that with the consent of the traditional council. If you don't do that, at the end you'll find another piece or group of people or a piece of land that belongs to this tribe is now awarded to another tribe because the ward itself has to do that. I believe in KZN it was done precisely this way. In KZN, regional areas of traditional councils have been made 11. You know, the size of population in KZN is high, but the size of land is small. So they created 11 regions for each traditional authority, regional authority. And then they created wards within that region, so that that region becomes then a composite piece of land, which will then be governed by local authorities in conjunction with traditional councils. For Siam, I have never lived in KZN. I only read about this. So even in a different experience, is our choice. So that, Tina, when we go through that bill again before we send it to the House and search for those parts. But we are not going to determine demarcation. We are only going to say when they participate in their council in this work, in land use planning, will they be able to do so within a composite piece of land or not?
Thank you for that explanation. You know, we used two words here, may or must. What is happening there on the ground? The local municipality does not sit together with the traditional leadership. The traditional leadership have their own sitting, and then they are operating parallel for the same land, which is causing a more complications than what we are discussing here. As we have mentioned, that the boundary of Nkosi Qebekhulu has been cut and put on my own side just because of the
these words. Without negotiating with Nkosi Tobekulu, without negotiating with me, only to find that now people from their side, now they are falling to my one. And it is too complicated. I don't know how can we just correct this. Well, the way it is happening is obvious that at the end, you'll find that the Nkosi position is no more existing because the councillors are sitting, putting more laws. Not this must. They use that may up to now. Thank you.
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the Prince has put the correct perspective of what is happening in the province. The demarcation has been working, mostly focusing on the population density to sort of demarcate the wards. So that's how actually it's happening. Even the explanation that Chairperson has just been given with regards to the regions, as you've mentioned that there are 11. It's only the way it has been structured, so it's just the district consisting of several tribal leaders within the district. But according to demarcation wards, it's what Prince has just explained, Chairperson.
To close this matter, Batim, we perhaps need to, before we finalize the bill, remember that we had invited six other portfolio committees of parliament that are affected directly by that bill. They have asked us to facilitate a workshop where we go through that bill as it stands now, clause by clause, the things that we did here ourselves. So that at the end, COCTA, for instance, the Portfolio Committee of Local Government and Cooperation, should then be able to say how that part should be corrected by themselves. Remember that we don't do that. We can create a clause in the bill that says they must cooperate, but we cannot force that because the Demarcation Board, together with COCTA, should do that.
Am I missing something? Are those participating or departments that are affected by, we're talking about SPLUM legislation. So after the legal advice, we will hold that workshop.
We wanted to have it before, but they themselves were not available, even though they requested the workshop. So we set a date, we organized everything, but they were not available. So we decided, because of the pressure from the Speaker's office for us to finish this, we went ahead and did what we did here and sent it to the advocate. What perhaps we should be doing is to go back to that workshop, even if the bill has gone through the House itself. Because remember that from the NCOP is going to come back to the House. We could even work with the NCOP to deal with those aspects in that bill that may be what we should be influencing to be amended, so that by the time it comes back to the House, the amendments would have been built into the bill.
Okay, I have no doubt that that process would enrich the bill, and I don't believe that we'll be able to pass proper legislation until we've had that interaction with those other departments because of the complexity of the bill. I'm just wondering whether taking it through Parliament and then referring to the NCOP and then having it back would be a bit like putting the cart before the horse. I don't know, Chair, you're more familiar with the process and what the Speaker wants. But I would think that once we've got that legislation back from the advocate, that we should try and have that workshop before we process the legislation through Parliament. Because as you say, we're going to take responsibility for that legislation when there are many other departments who are crucial to that legislation. Our most controversial and heavy submissions came from local governments that were concerned about the separation of powers and the various roles and responsibilities. So to me, it's been deficient in that COCTA has been outside of this process to date. So I think we're going to line ourselves up for a problem if we process it halfway and then try and have the workshop.
We discussed this piece of legislation at length because you introduced it into this debate. You remember that we were looking at these existing pieces of legislation. And because we have that one as part of our process, we want to learn from the existing pieces of legislation so that we can then involve ourselves better in the creation of this one. But we will take that process forward, honorable members. Are we happy with the pieces of legislation that we have? There is another matter here. If you look at page 8 on under Geospatial and Cadastral Services, there is an existing act which is called Sectional Titles Act 1986 that provides for the subdivision of buildings into sections and common property. If you remember, the minister was telling us that one of the things that will happen or that they are wishing to do when it gets to communal land, the outer boundary remains the property of that tribe, but the inside boundaries should be subdivided according to the population in that tribal area. Now, I'm not sure how much we can learn from the Sectional Titles Act here. Perhaps what we need to do as members, go through that act, get a copy from Ms. Isaacs, and go through that, so that by the time the minister brings that document for communal land subdivision and things, we should see as to whether it will not be bedeviled by the experience on the sectional titles as it applies in the urban areas. Kosiam.
Thank you, Chair. Just a little input on this. I know the department has had workshops with different traditional councils. With the department, they've recently had workshops in Irene in Gauteng province where they invited a number of traditional councils. And the Mbezo Traditional Council was also able to attend these workshops. And this issue came up of the Section Title Act that the department seeks to pass, and it was highly rejected by the representatives that were there, because of the philosophy embedded in communal land, a family receiving land in a communal area, it's not per the individual, but per the family. So this was one of the core issues that arose out of the discussion. And if you give a title deed to Nkosi Qebekhulu, it's for the utilization of the Qebekhulu family and not himself personally. This is therefore creative, a challenge, especially in communal lands where the incumbents feel that the individual should be avoided an opportunity of bargaining with that title deed. For example, if he can put a bank loan against that, it shouldn't be per the individual, but per the family, so that the future generations of that family can have access to the utilization of that property. So I would really appeal to the Portfolio Committee Chair that we do engage with the department and the various stakeholders regarding this section
traditional councils are the authority in power. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I don't agree 100% with Nkosi Mandela, what he is mentioning now, that is the land is the property of the family. It can't be. Let's say I have two sons. This is my land. When my son gets married, he must go to an Nkosi and ask Nkosi to allocate piece of arable land for him and his wife, not mine. I cannot be forced to donate the piece of land to my son. Except on my will, I can do that, but I cannot be forced by law. So this interpretation is not 100% correct. We can share with them, but the once he needs now a title deed for that, I cannot allow him to just to reduce what I have.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Donna, hear me properly. I'm not advocating a perspective of my own, but I'm raising an issue that was raised in Irene by the people that were participating in this workshop that the department called. So it would be interesting to get feedback from the department as to what they were told and why was this rejected at the workshop, because they deadlocked on the matter and they couldn't proceed, and the discussions had to come to an end. Thank you.
I think Pumla still has to hear about the information, because I ask her to write down for your benefit, Chair, when you come back, to answer all these questions, because I'm not relevant to. Thank you.
When that time comes, the department says he fundilet in a land. She has both the theory and the practice out there. Like Nkosi Qebekhulu no princes will be the issue. On paper, these things, the demarcations, but in practice, something else is happening. So now the sectional title, because if you title the sectional title is this of communal land in the traditional areas, it's against the world of it's against the law of Glom Ted. Masi Chokubake is a snake Sanjani, a poor two lady, Megos of Andrew and now Masalakos. Because Gutua, the people of the Alando, your servants are Glom Ted, the way labor position and how people should use the land to develop themselves. Can we move on then? I think there's no other piece of legislation that we want to talk about. There's a statement by the minister here. Is there anybody who wants to make a comment on what the minister is saying? the last issue that, before we go to the minister's statement, there's the page 9, a list of entities that are reporting to the minister, for the minister to come and report to Parliament. If you look at the page 8 on top, the 1, 2, 3 is, I think it's J, item J, Communal Property Associations Act. I equally report Yabo in this report. Also, there is no report separate like we have received the Ngonyama Transport report. We have received the Commission's report, but the Communal Property Association's report is not here. So perhaps in dealing with this, we should put this down as one of those things that we are taking note of.
Thanks, Chair. I think that on part of the department, they should provide us with more information on that communal property associations, because if it does, in actual fact, exist, why is it not reporting to the minister? Because then it should be listed under those entities that report to the minister, so that we can also be privy to the information that they have. Thank you.
We are slow because we now have consumed a full hour on these aspects. If there's no comment on what the minister is saying in his comments on this report, we can move on. Kosbuya.
Thanks, Chair. There's an issue here on the minister's statement, and I'm just trying to get to it, Chair, but it alludes to the development that the department has had as far as giving out land to the previously disadvantaged, where I think we have fallen short to the targets that were set, and also that the deliverable have fallen short on that aspect. We would like probably to see clarity, or see clarity as far as to what do we then propose to be the targets that will be met by 2014. That doesn't come out clearly in the statement, Chair. So we are left as a portfolio committee not knowing what then becomes the target for 2014, or do we continue working in limbo and not understanding what the deliverables will be? Thanks.
Specific comments. look at paragraph 4 of the minister's statement and look at paragraph 3 of the accounting officer's statement. They're saying exactly the same thing. But then the minister says that in order to achieve any progress, they need resolve, a strong resolve from the department and from those who are resolved to help emancipate themselves. And and the accounting officer says that in order to put right, to rectify the conditions of people in rural areas, they need wholehearted backing of other segments of government and the people of the country in order to put right and make a difference in the lives of those people. I know these are general statements, but you need to have concrete things. Say, what is it that we will do? Resolve alone is not enough. The backing of the other segments of government is not enough. You need to be able to say, this is what we're going to do. Yes, Ngosiyam.
Thanks, Chair. I seemingly don't really fully comprehend the issue of rural development, especially being advocated by the department chair. In that, I think from especially their vision, they talk to establishing a vibrant and sustainable communities. And I would always continuously go back to their first pilot project, that Binumiesh. Can we today say that we have established such an entity or a community that talks to that vision? And this then becomes more evident as we visit these CRDP projects being championed by the department, in that in most cases the department goes into these communities with already something they've decided upon, which is not really being championed by the community or the stakeholder forum that ought to have been set up to run such initiatives. And the accounting officer here speaks about Tinkosi Dalbunga Mandela Legacy Bridge being put or is under construction. But we've only in that community just last week established a stakeholder forum, which then left many questions on part of the community as to these things that will render us sustainable. Do they come from within the community or have they been decided for the community elsewhere? Also, Chair, the department is meant to be a catalyst for many other departments, but on the ground we seem to find that to be different in that we have, on part of the Mvezo community, have engaged the department to understand as to who it's working with to champion these developments in Ward 20, especially if you look at the bridge, it comes with the road, which involves then the Department of Roads and Public Works. But there is also the Department of Health that is building a clinic in the area. You also have the Mandela School of Science and Technology being built by funded by Siemens through the Department of Education. the Department of Tourism is there, and the Department of Environmental Affairs is there, but we don't see the department as a champion of rural development in the area. Who then takes the leadership of bringing these departments to a stakeholder forum where issues can then be discussed holistically? So I really am having battles into understanding how we are to really assess that we are making a contribution into aligning our vision of creating these vibrant and sustainable communities. Thank you, sir.
DG, rural development is a cornerstone to turn the tide in fighting against poverty. I think then you could report back there for the minister, the last paragraph where the minister is mentioning about the level of food security. Job creation has been another local point in the focal point in the operation model. And then mention these so many employment opportunities and NARSEC and so on and so on. But we keep on repeating to say we have this mere share and what this other place at the Northern Cape that Rimpasmark, this is the only thing that we are repeating now and again in NARSEC. But the whole country is big. What I understood about this department, I understood that this department is a catalyst to deal with the department to do all this. But at the moment, it seems as if now our department are now trying to implement all this. It's too little that way the department has done for the whole country. Whereas in the rural area, when we are saying that the rural development is the remains of the cornerstone of the report is that country is getting more and more poverty, have no food, silos are empty, we're getting food from outside, but now if you raise these issues, you see it makes as if you are just teasing the department. But we are facing a very, very difficult position sooner or later, because we haven't done anything much in the rural. People are there, they want to be assisted, but you can't find the department to assist. Always saying that is the food security. Well, I got a message from the youth who were taken to Mnambi for training this NARSEC program. They sent a message to me, say, Prince, we are from there. Now we do not know what next, what are we going to do now? How is it if we repossess these farms from the people who are unable to perform? Then we take this youth who has been in the training and fund them and let them to produce food. Then to say that now we are overproductive with this youth NARSEC, whereas why you train the people that you are not going to put them somewhere to assist even the department? This is my feeling, Chair. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is actually also the straining of the Naritek, the recruitment of the people, and then afterwards, there's nothing the students do afterwards, or the trainees do. They just wander the streets and get a stipend, and that's all they do. And that's the big problem which we are sitting with. They are not used in projects, or they are not ready to fully employ somewhere. The same with the CRDP projects. The community isn't really involved in this whole project. I mean, I've spoken to the DG, to the minister. I've mentioned it in our meetings every time. The project, in our case, Maritzburg is actually the rural node. But there's a project in Beaufort West, which the minister came to launch, and since then nothing is done. And it's not a project which is really going to help the whole of the community, or where these Naritek students can get permanent employment. It's actually the same as is already in that area where people who are trained certain skills are supposed to get them or have their own job opportunities. But now it's a same type of thing, and the one who's already built is standing like just standing there. Nothing is done there. So that's the problem you are sitting with. And the poor people of Maritzburg, they don't benefit really. They got a lot of Naritek students who are trained, but they just wandering around in the streets. They don't do anything. So that's the problem. And I said it, the minister said it's not so, but you find in our area, which is governed by the ANC, that 95% of these students are selective ANC people. And that's not right, that our government is only giving work opportunities to a certain section of our community and not all of the community. And that's my problem. So something must be done to get permanent employment for our people in the rural areas, and not now a stipend for a year and then nothing. No way they can be have permanent jobs. So that's my problem.
When we deal with a recommendation linked to Naritek, we need to make particular recommendations about the quality of the training, the engagement of these people afterwards in meaningful projects that help communities. And thirdly, the process of selecting these young people must be undertaken by the local authority working with the department. Because if it's a word of mouth referrals, it becomes selective, like JJ is saying. But if they, for instance, if they come from Prince Zulu's area, the traditional council knows the families that are destitute in that area. The traditional council, together with counselors, they would know which young people, girls and boys, that must be trained and for what. And that is how it should be working with the and that is why it should be working with the traditional council and the local authority. So that you monitor that young man or young girl when they go out for training and when they come back. Because then you would know what they were trained in, how long, for what, and then where they'll go to after they have been trained. Even the quality of the training, because you can imagine a situation where somebody's been trained for a full year or 2 years, comes back and asks the question, what can I do now? Because if it is government's intention to train the person to be able to be self-sufficient, they must be introduced to something. instead of roaming the streets. Ndiyabona ke nkosi zam ndinani thunuka buya ke nkosi Cebikhu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine was just to add to what you've just been saying, Chairperson, with regards to these youths. If then a report can be compiled just to say which wards have been identified and benefited out of these nurse training. Because when one first heard about this, it was a matter of saying each and every ward will have a youth identified for the training in the NARASAC. And over and above, Chairperson, there is that NARASAC training which is in progress and has identified people to sort of go out and work in the group. And maybe it's happening maybe only in KwaZulu-Natal, where we have, on top of the NARASAC, we have these community development workers, CDWs, which in my view might be doing one and the same thing, but only to find that even these CDW, we cannot identify them in each and every ward. It's just a word that goes by to say there are people who have been identified, who have been employed by the government departments or the provincial and national government to further their training and go back and implement what they've been trained in doing. Mine was just to add on that one. Thank you.
If you turn to page 12, paragraph 6, the accounting officer is saying the National Rural Youth Service Corps is an important component of the effort of reducing unemployment. It says above that the unemployment above is too high, and therefore one of the things they do is to train these young people. It says youth unemployment in rural areas is high, and the NARASAC initiative seeks to reduce this. So it means the purpose of recruiting people and training them is to make them attached to some form of employment. So that is one of the recommendations we have to make, to check which wards and what is the participation of the community in selecting. Because it says here, it doesn't say how, it says they are recruited young people are currently attending FET colleges throughout the country. You see, how you choose these FET colleges and how you choose these young people is something that we have to put in our recommendation. Once this training is complete, these young people will be deployed. They say will be deployed in CRDP sites across the country. They will be. So if you look at the paragraph above that one, it says rural development has been initiated. In fact, elements of rural development, CRDP, are being rolled out in 180 rural wards across the country. So what perhaps we need to do, Ngosia, is to say which are those wards and what community structures have participated in selecting these young people. And if you want to deploy these young people back there, you need then to say those that come from outside these 180 wards, what will happen to them? Okay, I think let us put that the recommendation. And we tend to overstay the issues. And I was excited this chaphazela directly. But again, the FNAC covers the whole report, not only this part. Is that Ngosia?
Ngosia, no, you just pointed out the issue I was going to raise, but just to emphasize on this, you know, the department has a tendency of launching CRDP projects without a clear, informed understanding of what is the targeted goal. So if you look at the legacy bridge of Olodondolo and Umbes, they were quick to launch the bridge, and they are talking about completing it in February. There is not even a single NARICEC youth that has been recruited into understanding and being trained for the job of the machine that will be left in the Lutondolo community, which produces 10,000 bricks per day. How will that project be used into the future to create jobs for the youth of that area in Lutondolo, in ensuring to service the road after this project is completed? So I don't really see how these NARICEC youth are recruited and for what purpose and where they will be put back into those CRDP projects, which says the stakeholder forum itself is not really fully functioning, Chair.
Yeah. Who did you say once this training is complete, these young people will be deployed in these CRDP sites across the country? So they acknowledge themselves that they have not done this. They are still planning to deploy them. Now, is what JJ was saying, that these young people, no Prince Zulu, Chowuti, these young people are saying, now that we have been trained, what do we do next? And the department is here saying they will deploy them in 180 wards. They acknowledge that they have not done that. So bakhona abagqibileyo, if there are those that have completed the training, what are they doing? Where are they? Let's continue to capture program by program now. We turn to page 16. Page 16 tells us about what is the purpose of giving money to this department. They are saying these are the predetermined objectives that are being funded. They are telling us where the money is going to go after the vote has been completed. You remember, this is what we do in the House. We vote for a particular budget amount that has been allocated to the department and for it to be deployed in the various areas. Any comment in that area?
I think what is not visible from the voted funds, Chair, is a failure on performance and deliverable agreements, what measures are taken. Because it's fairly well to have a budget, but what if that budget is not used and there are no deliverables? What then are the measures to be put in place? Thanks, sir.
On page 16, paragraph 2, it says the aim of the vote is to create and maintain an equitable and sustainable land dispensation and act as a catalyst in rural development that ensures rural livelihoods, decent work, and continued social and economic advancement of all South Africans. Now, it's telling us about the mission of the department in other words. They are changing the words in the mission. And in fact, in the vision. So they combine the vision and the mission together to create that sense that, Fago, you recall, you said the mission and vision are too thin. Now they've expanded on that by saying the vote, purpose of this vote is to do these kinds of things. Equitable, sustainable land dispensation, catalyst in rural development to create rural livelihoods, and create jobs, decent work, and continued social and economic advancement. So their aim is to do that, to translate the vision and the mission into that kind of thing. And the strategic outcome oriented goals are those that are listed there. So let's move now to the other thing that we didn't do properly when we passed this budget is to measure as to whether the budget as allocated in fact sufficient to do the work, and so that we can know where it is going to be used. Let me just give you an example. We have approached those of you who missed the workshop that we had at Arabella. I know that there was one committee member that attended, others did not attend. UFAC attended. Ujeje, where you going? You were there first day. And then Mamu Kaba came the last day, second day, Mamu Kaba, third day. Yeah. Those of you who missed that workshop, we have missed this part that we're talking about. Because what the workshop decided we should do, which is going to be in our strategic plan for the committee, is that we must go to all the portfolio committees that have got components of rural development in them. Look at their budgets and check where they say they will spend the money in the rural areas. So that we then say, let us form a structure of parliament consisting of all these portfolio committees, so that we can determine. For instance, let's take Prince Zulu, the example of KZN. If we find that there are 10 departments that want to do fencing, that's just an example, fencing, we must know where this fencing is going to take place, how much money they are budgeting for it, so that this coordination that the department has been asked to do must make sure that there will be no duplication. For instance, you may find that in Ngosiam, 3 departments are operating in one town, in KZN, one in another corner, another one in a different corner, the other one in their own corner. And they all are saying they're helping those communities without knowing about their own impact and the roles that they are doing. So we have said that the problem of parliament is that everybody is chasing his tail, because we have committees that are focusing on the internal dynamics. We do not have a comprehensive plan of parliament as a whole. Even that committee has tabled, that recommendation we were given there from the workshop was tabled in the programming committee. I think WIPS are dealing with that. So that the portfolio committees should then compare the notes and come back and tell us how much money is available for rural development. The government has already appointed the DG of rural development departments from the government side. So we may have a situation where in that meeting, communications will say we are building Chusong centers. But each Chusong center has to be fenced. It has to have electricity and water and so on, and computers. But unfortunately, the communications department, when they finish building a Chusong center, they are not handing it over to the municipality. It becomes the property of the department, because they say we pay rates, we do all these other things. So when something goes wrong in the Tucson Center, the municipality is unable to intervene because it's not their property. Look at the schools. They build schools and walk away. They are not handed over to the municipality because they say the municipality's jurisdiction does not get into the schools. But look at this, how many schools are being vandalized. Because the municipality is unable to intervene as the baby of public works or the baby of education department. So in this regard, we will have an ability to say how departments must collaborate with each other so that we can advance this thing. Can we go back to the question that we were raising, the budget? The department says that they were given 8 billion rand by appropriation. 8.1 billion rand was given to them. And then they subdivided this amount of money and they given it to the DITS trading account, agricultural land holding account, Ingonyama transport, and others. And they say that 98.3% of that amount of money was spent, and they had a short, they had a surplus of 139 million unspent that went back to treasury. Page 18. They say 139 million went back to treasury. They're just telling nice stories like 98.3% has been spent. It's a percent, but there's 139 million rand was not spent in the financial year.
Thank you, Chairperson. One doesn't even know how to start and what to say, because it seems as if there is no urgency in the department, really. At some point, bayakhala ngokuthi ibudget ayithenanga, abafikelelanga, they cannot do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but at the other hand, a lot of money has gone back to treasury. So what strategy? What is there? What can they tell us better to say that we will use this now? This strategy that is going, that we are going, or a turnaround strategy, whatever we can call it. And also with specific time and date. Because I think that many a times the programs have been there and everything has been done, but there is no time to say by after 3 months on this date we need a report so that we should exactly know which money, what money has been used, where and how and when. Thank you, Chair.
There is one member that was raising the question from the money that is went back to the treasurer. I think Pumla will give you a written
Chairperson, being a Mumbuso, can you be comment just to say that there is no agency in the department? Because if there's no money time frames every time, say after 3 months that the committee should know the money use up a quatin, who shake a malin in any now judicial. Because anything does mean why, but he maliagic.
If you go back to page 10, the paragraph we were quoting from the speech of the minister, or the comments on the minister on this report. Page 10, paragraph 4. Uthi minister, make no mistake, we have made progress. He admits that, but it is insufficient compared to the weight of legitimate expectations out there. He says this report details the ground covered so far and looks ahead to many challenges that remain. He further says that we are fully aware that to achieve meaningful progress, we require strong resolve. Now, a strong resolve will give you intuity. There should not be 1 cent of the money that has been given to us that goes back to treasury. The accounting officer, because till now we are supposed to hold them to account, these two. The accounting officer is saying in his, he makes, in fact, no comment on why they have not spent all the money. No, he where? I see nowhere where the accounting officer is explaining why they did not spend. In fact, the person who explained any shortfall is both the DDG for administration and the DDG, the acting CFO. Those are the two people that have made comments on the lack of expenditure of this 139 million. Otherwise, both the minister and accounting officer have made no comment on this matter. So I propose that we put a recommendation on this particular matter. Agreed? Can we move on? Provincially during the financial year. So If then they have those properties that they are leasing out, they say at the bottom, they have done maintenance work on some of these properties. In Cape Town, they say where the street is, and they installed a backup generator. And again, in Surveyor General's office, they upgraded the kitchen and toilet facilities. In Pretoria, they upgraded the power supply and recirculation. Now, maybe this is not an investment, it's just a project upgrading. Excuse me. Yeah. And it may be that that building where they are having their office is not their property. So it may be that the properties in the asset management part are not linked to the maintenance part. I'm not quite sure. There is nowhere in this document where this part is explained.
Yes. You know, when I read that, I didn't even bother to make a comment. I'm pleased you comment on it, because to me it speaks to the quality of this annual report. If you say there is, the department did not have any capital investments, well, I know for a fact that in Mocha, they are putting up center pivots, massive center pivots, and dairies. Those are capital investments of extraordinary amounts of money. And they're good, and I think the projects will be sustainable. The people involved will make them sustainable like some of the others. Fort Hare, Dairy Trust, Kaskamahook, Shiloh, Necha projects. Those are massive capital-intensive investments that they've made. Asset management. We're not talking about generators at offices owned by the Department of Public Works. We're talking about the assets that the department buys with money that they're supposed to look after and count them, tractors, plows, you know, all those issues, nothing.
But what you are saying is that we must go back to that and say there has to be a correlation between the capital acquisition that they make in terms of assets and the operationalization of those assets into productive assets. And if they don't do that, they must explain to us why.
And the management
of those, yeah. Exactly. And they deploy these tractors, but they remain the property of the department, but managed by other people. So if they can't say, Aditi Chief, Yasenga was a tractor, Namakuba. Yes, this pair of band, why is this in? Never nigger, never ladies. What airway? Today, all kind of airway. So let's go back and make this recommendation. There has to be a link between capital investment and asset management.
Chairperson, the purpose of the program is clear. The strategic objectives are clear. But when we come to indicators and the targets, that's where the worry lies, is the targets. Because we don't reach our targets in most of these activities that are here in Program 1. And the reason that okay, at the bottom is being that the challenge in terms of the vacancy. And if we do not get administration right, then I think that we can just forget, because administration has to lead us. So where are we going to? Now, what is that department going to do to correct this? Yes, I hear there is. They are struggling to get people with skills and experience and everything. But what efforts are they going to do now to correct this? Because we cannot go on like this. Thank you, Chair.
Mama, you specifically say that we must then deal with the issue of the reduction of vacancies. Because you can't say that position is vacant and you have a budget for that, and yet you don't recruit somebody and fill that vacancy. Remember that there are things like scarce skills. But if there are scarce skills, why can't you go to other departments and fill those skills via the budget that you already have? Vacancies to be reduced to up the to increase the capacity of the department to perform. Mama November is also saying, Pumla, the setting of targets must be meaningful, because they set targets that are completely not meaningful at all. Very few targets are met by the department. In fact, perhaps what the other question that must be asked about targets, Mama November, whether all the targets that have been set by the department cover the whole department. Because what happens is that you may have a department that says we're going to do this and list all the things that they want to do, and you discover that the bulk of the things that will not be done may be very important things to be done. I know, for instance, that we're asking them a question. I've sent them a list of questions, as I promised here. There is absolutely no work being done by the department about farm workers and farm dwellers. They just hire a law firm and say, only deal with them when they are evicted and take the owners of land to court. Otherwise, there is no program of the department that covers farm dwellers and farm workers. And those are the most vulnerable people. Can we move on? actual performance against the target. If communication is as bad as it is, 75% is a high percentage. We move on to the next program, program two. Yes.
Program two, I'm just very curious and very concerned. I mean, the one indicator that stands out in that report that concerns me was that we understand that there's capacity issues and scarcity of human resources and all the rest, and we've got bursaries to train surveyors and so on. But they gave a target that we questioned in one of our meetings of 14 days turnaround to study and consider cadastral documents. In 2010-2011, the actual turnaround time was 18 days. Their target was 14 days, and it's gone out to 21 days. So far from improving, it's got worse. Yet the other achievement of the fact that they wanted to survey 30,000 hectares, they increased that to 1.5 million hectares and actually achieved 990,000 hectares. It's quite a considerable achievement, but I just don't understand how, with all the initiatives that the department's putting in, that the turnaround time for cadastral documents consideration has gone that bad so quickly in a year. And I think we should make a comment about that.
Program also the issue of the audit, because it becomes like a moving target. They said they will finish in March, they moved that target. They said they will finish in June, they moved it. Now they say they will finish in December. But they are at 54%. Again, it's a matter of unrealistic targets.
How are we then able to process Title D documentation? it's 6 days and the target is 7 days. Those two don't speak to each other, and I think we just need to clarify that with the department before we expose ourselves to something that might look good on paper but is actually not really achievable.
Part of what we need to do is to go and see for ourselves. And the, by the way, they're here. They're also here. We can walk. We don't even get to start going past to go there. We can walk and have a look at what they're talking about.
Okay, let's move to program 3. This is where the asset investment, asset management and capital investment take place. Enterprises. Council of Stakeholders. Yes?
So there's obviously a bit of a problem here in this program. Despite the fact that they, you know, spent most of their budget, and as you said, they're very happy about claiming that they've spent 98% of the departmental budget. But if you look at the graph on the bottom of page 29, there's some baseline figures there, and then the target figures for 2011, actually achieved targets. They are so disproportionate to the strategic targets that they set themselves. For example, 180 wards profiled, they achieved 57. 162,000 households profiled, 97. Food gardens, agri parks. Now, the department was talking about agri parks here the other day and saying that the one area had done really well, I forget where it was, because of its proximity to an agri park. Forget where that area was, in a Transkei somewhere. They'd done well with regard to
crop production or something because of their practice. Yeah. It says no agri parks have been established here.
Maybe it's one of the two that was already
maybe.
We could check it out. But they have not produced any agriculture. They say the processes of establishing functional agriculture took longer than the financial year, as was initially anticipated. However, production phase for the establishment of agriculture on 8 sites has been completed. What is that? What does that mean? Production phase has been completed.
And Chair, if I can just say, if we're going to go and visit some of those the CRDP and projects and the enterprises and the co-ops, maybe we could go and visit those near one of those agri parks, because it'd be interesting to see what the agri park looks like and what its intended outcomes are.
I'm not quite sure, though, you know, because DG, if you went back to the DG statement on that paragraph, what is this paragraph? Paragraph 5, it says, page 12, it says elements of the CRDP are being rolled out in 180 rural wards across the country. Now, if those elements, they are covering all 180 rural wards, but on page 29, they say that they had initially planned to do that on 180 wards, but they have done that only in 57. So where is DG's information coming from? Because profiling is the first step of introducing the Comprehensive Rural Development Program. It's the first step. And they make the same excuse. They say inter-stakeholder planning around ward profiling took longer than expected. But you will see, if you went to Program 1, Madam Mashia was saying, where's my book, Pumla? Madam Mashia, it's going to be cumbersome learning from me, but I wanted to avoid misleading myself here. Ms. Mashia is saying that they have partnerships with various departments, and that has assisted them to improve planning. They have improved workflow, they have improved the processes, they have improved HRM, they have improved the corporate support for service delivery. Now, on this page 29, it says the opposite, that the planning
was so bad
such that they were stuck at the level of inter-stakeholder planning before they could do even the first step of CRDP of profiling. Because there's a contradiction between what the DG is saying, that the elements of this thing are already taking place 180 wards, and yet this page says no, that's not true, because only 57 wards were profiled. Chair Vanamos. Their planning is poor again.
It's helpful when you go through this process, even though it might seem a bit laborious, but when you refer back, the minister in his report on page 10, he said that 9,889 employment opportunities were created in all the CRDP initiatives. Yet on page 30, it says the objective was 9,000 jobs, and the actual was 4,840.
4,589 jobs created in the CRDP, and the reason for that underachievement was that some of the CRDP projects are still at planning phase, thus fewer jobs have created.
Mm-hmm.
So the minister claims that over 9,800 have been created, yet the report on program 3 says only half of the targets have been achieved.
This is exactly the point I wanted us as a committee to do. Because once you read the report alone in your own corner, you are unable to see these matters. But when we go back and say, let them do this thing properly, we will be able to help even them and help the minister from an embarrassing situation. Because he claims that there are so many jobs created, and yet his own report that he gave to Parliament says no, only half of those that he's claiming have been created. At page 33, they say that they budgeted for 360 claims to be implemented, but they have actually achieved 209. Siavana, honorable members, their target was 360 because of the budget constraints. But only 209 were achieved. Now, but this 360 was the backlog part, no? I'm not sure is the charges the episode. But they say the number of outstanding claims baseline is 457. And they have budgeted for 90 outstanding claims to be dealt with. But 416 claims were settled but not yet finalized, which means that 90 has not been achieved at all. They did not meet that target.
Comment. My comment that I want to make, I do not want to sound like I'm claiming a provincial or whatever, something issue. But here the commissioner has to make sure to which really, really people are the people of the place. Because in Namakwa, we couldn't even, this period, it was difficult. It was really difficult because the wrong people, I think, have been given the money, but the right people have been left out. So they have to make sure, not listening one side and the other side, not having its information. So such things may also make that the department look very much bad. I'm talking now from the provinces side or the regional side, of which I do not want to almost talk about regionalism when we're up above the NAS, but they have to make sure.
You remember, Chair, and obviously when you listen to Nkosi Mandela this morning talking about community of stakeholders or councils of stakeholders in those 180 identified projects. And now we don't know whether they're actually 180 and whether they've all been established or whatever. So the question arises out of this report is that they targeted the establishment of 180 council of stakeholders for each ward. That's basically what they were. And they claim to have established 464. And there's no reason for the variance given. Now, I just don't understand why you would establish 464 council of stakeholders in 180 wards, unless they're establishing them outside of the targeted wards. But you'll remember, Chair, in one of the meetings, we had a problem with the presidential project Montreux, where the council of stakeholders had no idea about what was happening with the department. And Dr. Moshe Swartz had said that the mayor and the municipal manager run the whole project, and the council of stakeholders have no idea about what's going on there, which defies the whole idea of having this. So if they've established 464, is it just a tick box exercise of establishing these institutions? And when I listen to Nkosi Mandela talk, it sounds like those council of stakeholders, they're not intimately involved with what's happening there. So, is it just juncture here?
The part of this problem is the quality of the planning of the department. Look at page 33. They say that the reasons for major variances on them not meeting their target was because of external and internal challenges. When they explain the external challenges, they say that there are disputes in communities, there are family disputes, demands of exorbitant amounts of land for land claimed, boundary disputes between communities, disputes between communities and office bearers of communal property institutions, the disputes between these people in traditional leadership, and the unavailability of resources for both human and financial. Now, if you know that you have to resolve these problems at the time when you're making a target, you have then to have clear indications that you have the capacity to do this work. I don't believe that they set the target and then they discovered these problems when they went to do the work. What was the basis of the planning? Look at the internal challenges that they're talking about, is they have insufficient capacity to administer the functions of the commission. Now, who was then doing the planning if they have no capacity to administer this work? They have no research capacity. They cannot even make deals. They apparently they do deal making as well. Yeah, on page 33. And we, at the bottom, they are not addressing those challenges. They are saying that they are going to engage and negotiate the current landowners and use radio and newspaper advertisement to locate the claimants and court processes to determine interventions and improve the verification processes. They are dealing with their own capacity. Program 5 says that they targeted to distribute land and recapitalize farms, and they did not meet their targets. And they explain why. They say they can't recruit strategic partners that are experienced, and they planned to train farmers. But they have not been able, but they trained 277 of those farmers.
Sorry, where are you reading?
Page 34, program 5. Mm-hmm. Again, I think we must agree that we need to visit these recapitalized farms. They targeted recapitalizing 387 farms that are in distress, but they managed to recapitalize only 257, and they say that it was because they can't get experienced strategic partners and mentors.
Can I make a comment about that?
Yes.
My experience is that there are people that are interested and that have skills that want to sign these deals, but they often get frustrated with finding the officials to get in the department to finalize them, to hand over responsibility for projects that are being recapitalized, and the delays make those beneficiaries and strategic partners miss important deadlines in farming. Because you can only plant at certain times certain crops. So if you don't get your applications in on time for recapitalization or whatever, you miss the deadline.
Well, this is a program
that has indicated that they started late. Yes, go, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Whilst on this program 5, Chairperson, the experiences sort of informed or told us that these strategic partners as well as the mentors in some farms have not shown commitment with regards to empowering the beneficiaries. As a result, they've sort of kept everything under the table, if I may say so. That then resulted in these beneficiaries not benefiting as far as how to manage a farm or how to farm as such. My view on that one, Chairperson, is if the department were to look for, say, recruiting or employing farm managers who will manage the farms on behalf of the beneficiaries, whilst still on managing at the same time, they will be sort of empowering those people how to run the farms, because we find that in some instances, those to be mentors or had ended up taking a lot or being involved in sort of planting divisions among the beneficiaries. As a result, they ended up leaving the project. That's the view I had, or a contribution I have with regards to land reform projects, Chairperson.
We visited two of the projects you're talking about, and the chairperson of the CPA told us that he knows nothing about what is happening on their own farm, because the strategic partner or the mentor was working alone. In fact, the mentor left whilst we were still there. It is happening, because, and that farm is exporting the fruit. Yeah, and the owners of the farm don't even know what's going on. They even have a pack house, and they've got the facilities to put all this fruit into trucks, but they don't know what's going on. Perhaps what we need to do is to take a sample again on this and visit, like Fagu was saying, unannounced.
Meaning
department must actually think about using that recap amount to, I mean, I can mention at least 10 farms in our area, and that's all over the country also, that some of the beneficiaries involved has died, they deceased. So the farm are actually sitting with that burden to pay out those people that died or the family of those people. So to me, that's one of our biggest problems with getting these farms sustainable or profitable, because the farmers are sitting with that burden over their neck. I don't know what
can be done, but
I mean, almost every second farm has got that problem. 20 beneficiaries, 5 have died. 30 beneficiaries, 3 have died. And now, what does those trusts do to pay out those people? They don't have the money. So what I'm saying is, this whole recap can actually, could have helped the owners to get, to pay out some of the family of the beneficiaries who died. You understand what I'm saying?
What is the relevance of the chair under the solar panels?
Chair, so I don't want to take you too far ahead. But, Chair, I was just looking on page 69 and page 77.
The reason why I wanted to stick with the recommendation on page 37 was because the audit committee that we have never met is itself telling us about the weaknesses that they themselves have recommended to be dealt with. And that has been confirmed by the Auditor General in his report. So I'm saying we cannot then jump and not take a decision on that one. Then we can come to yours, Fagu. But I wanted to say the Audit Committee report must be dealt with, at least just that item. It talks about the internal control system, because the risk management is weak in that regard. Can we agree on the recommendation there?
Me.
Thank you. Is that a page what?
The Chair, I just want to bring your attention to page 69 and page 77. If we can start on page 77 with disclosure notes for the annual financial statements. Under commitments, point 21 on page 77, you will see current expenditure approved and contracted, and then capital expenditure approved and contracted, so much approved and not contracted. So they account for capital expenditure in the financial statements, but earlier on in the report they said there was no capital expenditure. And then if you go back to page 69, there are even mentioned there of sale of capital assets. Now, if you're selling capital assets because they either, you know, depreciated to an extent that taxes don't work anymore, or the permit is being scrapped for scrap metal, how can you be having those in your financial statements yet in your report you say there are no capital expenditure? It just verifies what we were raising.
Yes.
Sorry for taking us back to page 37.
Can we make note of, we can arrange with the department to verify what they claim? Because our responsibility is to hold them account on the issues they say. Is a government of them.
Chair, I was going to say that the third paragraph there with the effectiveness of the control is just that we also have to see the plan that will be drawn up by the management and be given to the internal audit committee or to the audit committee.
In the audit committee, yeah, and talk to them about these things. And they appeal to my cover. You know, I'm a woman. decide, honourable members, to separate the recommendations we are making to the House and those that we want to be responded to in the quarterly reports. Because you remember when we dealt with the Western Cape claimants, we said to the department they must give us quarterly reports, and they have never done that. Now here we have a list of recommendations to make in our report to the House, and I want us to take note of the issue of capital assets and investments, and then deal with the issue of internal systems, and deal with the issue of capacity, also in conjunction with the training and vacancies.
Page 119 to 120. One is really not satisfied. I can't get it. Oh, 119, we auditor general to parliament, as in prior on the last landscape, bulletin 50.
Okay.
Yeah, material misstatements were not identified to list revenue and only all those things. Accounting officer did not take effective appropriate steps. I'm just saying that as long as there is really, maybe we need to be very much hard, I don't know how, so that they turn back, at least to be quick to a positive. Thank you, Chair.
Controls is repeated by the Auditor General on item 56 on the report, page 128. There's a link between what the Audit Committee is saying with what the Auditor General is saying, which must be dealt with.
Also on the leadership that does not have approved policies and procedures in place.
The department is saying when the this entity they're talking about is the agricultural land holding account. When that entity was established, the business model was to acquire and sell or distribute funds to beneficiaries in line with the entity's mandate. However, in recent years, there's been some uncertainty around whether this business model will be changed to one of holding the assets and leasing them out to beneficiary farmers, potentially with an option to purchase the farm after certain qualification criteria have been met during the lease term. So this again another confirmation that the department has assets. There's your answer, JJ. You were raising something, Fab.
Yes, Chair. I just want to make a comment about the Auditor General's report in specific reference to agricultural land holdings account, but with general reference to all the entities, including the Ngonyama Trust, for despite the fact that they want to dispute the Auditor General's findings. Under the well, the judge wants to dispute them, and he said they were broad sweeping statements, despite the fact that they had management committee meetings. I'm concerned that throughout there are queries around the leadership and oversight responsibility of the leadership in the department and management of assets. It's a standard finding in this department by the Auditor General, and I think we should comment about that. That senior leadership in the department have got specific responsibilities with regard to their positions in the department, and with those responsibilities come certain mandatory issues around providing the necessary leadership and oversight and accounting of assets. And it's just not happening yet.
By the Auditor General, that has come back this year, which was there even last year. They say that the Auditor General says the material adjustments. What they refer to as material adjustments is that every month you should be doing reconciliation. On the expenditure, what you buy, what you order, and so on. Every month you must do that. The department is unable to do this. So they make those adjustments at the end of the financial year. And you must then make material adjustments, because it's a material adjustment if it is done at the end, because it is doubtful as to whether it's a true reflection of what has happened, because your records may not be there. That is exactly the reason why there's so much corruption and disappearance of money, because documents can be lost if you want to make the adjustments at the end of the financial year. And the CFO must tell us what she's doing about it. account is paragraph 18 under the heading financial risk management. The trading entity's activities expose it to a variety of financial risks, credit risk, and liquidity risk. The trading entity's overall risk management program focuses on the unpredictability of financial markets and seeks to minimize potential adverse effects of the trading entity's financial performance. Risk management is carried out by a management committee of the department under the risk management framework approved by the audit committee. Originally, the audit committee says the internal control systems are problematic, they are weak. Now here it says that, again, they are open to financial losses because their risk management program is problematic. Commitments. It's on item 24. Contracted recapitalization projects. Work in progress under recapitalization, guarantees on land acquisition, project management, and the land bank, then the open orders. What are they referring to there? Money there, whereas I thought that these projects they are referring to, they relate to the number of projects under recap, because according to this thing, there are projects that are work in progress and those that have been done. So this 257 that they say they have achieved, it may not refer to the fact that they finished. It may be work in progress. 16.5 million was transferred to strategic partners. I thought that strategic partners bring money to the project. I didn't know that they get paid. Why you call them strategic partners if they get paid? I don't understand. Fagu, you may know Kavanda.
There were the big farmers that they were crying about the strategic partners that they've been gone with all the money, because the aim of the strategic partner is to come and assist them and take and get money from them, the money that the government is providing for farmers, the black farmers. So I'm just reminding you that strategic partners, there is no money that has been bring it in the farmers. It's just come and mentor the farmers and get paid there. And others, they've been stealing the money from the we have seen those things when you are going to the oversight. People crying about it.
Remember the case you're talking about? We were in Mpumalanga. There was this strategic partner that owns 40% of the project. And we were told that he has to bring money for cash flow purposes in the project. That's how he acquires the 40%. Of the produce of the farm. Now there's 16.5 million here paid to strategic partners. Why? Perhaps we need to find out what's going on. Is that fault?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. The department identified that paying mentors was not yielding benefits, because very often those mentors were failed farmers. They were happy to just get a salary, and they made no difference to the productivity of the properties acquired by the government. So then the government said they want to initiate a process of strategic partners. Now, a strategic partner should not be receiving a salary. The strategic partner should be managing recapitalization to ensure that there's return and value for money, that the farmers become productive. They might have to get funding from the department according to a business plan, and then implement the business plan and then deliver. And then the value of that strategic partnership must be assessed annually to find out whether they brought value to the project, whether they transferred the skills, whether the people were actually becoming, you know, sustainably independent from the department. So I agree with you. But there is a concern, Chair, and I raised it with the department, and I raised it in one of these meetings, that there is enormous scope for corruption in any activity of any department, but particularly in this area of mentorship and strategic partnership. I raised the issue in Mpumalanga, and my colleague at the provincial level is following up with it, because a lady even recorded a conversation between a strategic partner, who is a strategic partner with the department and many farms, many projects. The strategic partner, for example, will then do a business plan for a farm for 100 hectares of irrigation ground, but there's no irrigation ground on the farm. They then would do a business plan to say you'd need 3 tractors, 70 mowers and whatever, and the department would allocate the budget for that business plan. And the tractors are acquired from the strategic partner's company. So, from start to finish. And that is happening across the board, because the government is identified as this cash cow that everybody wants to milk. But that's a reflection on the department, Chair. It's not a reflection on the skillums out there. The world is full of skillums. But the department's supposed to manage the money and to manage outcomes of the department.
That is why let's go back to the department on this 16.5. It may not be 16.5, it may be more, but they disclose here this amount that this page transferred to the strategic partners. I'm not quite sure also the This agricultural land holding account, it's not a program, it's an entity. But who is actually the implementing arm of it? Are they the only person who do this? Yes. This company buys strategically located land for further leasing. So their responsibility, according to this document, was meant for them to hold the land. Yes. Or now they've changed to say to lease. Now, they generate income from doing this. Now they say they've asked National Treasury to keep the surplus, the funds that they accumulate, to complete projects in progress and farms capital development. Are they the ones who actually do this? Or is it is the recap team? It's not the holding company. But now they're just holding land. The manager will own the holding company when somebody else is actually doing the work. But now they don't do anything. And yet the property belongs to them. Yeah, if Seshba, when our things call, we private develop, we are with department, we are in this, as buildings are for and we are not sure. We must maintain this call, we are in the next week, we are in the next week, we are in the next. Oh, so, but now, we have this now. The department needs to make cases.
Under program 4.
Okay. I feel better. Yes, Nedisa, because the Galogiza ones must squash bosom. One look in his bosom. And full of power, actually, we are complete massive, but the bosom are weird. Kusa kwenye ndo, honorable members, inarungu wangu. Nisisi siichu. Ya, minabe nipinga kiba, sinatati preikile nda. Pasibu ya kengu sote, kashani na abandu kuto bafumane upat 4 wa report from page 141. Abandu bafumane ya awards. Bibisi shwapa, this is the last year. Kudeli zifa ufamisha liye, li, kanzi za last year. Mpumi lama, suni mwosha. Ay man, le report, one particular financial year, it's not for two financial years. So I wanna how hard the most it must be based on the financial year as we get. I see. Okay. What I wanted to check, honorable members, whether this lunch break we are taking is going to force us to come back and do from 141 and finish. Because look at these pages that are remaining, 20 pages. Do we want to come back with 20 pages or do we ask honorable members to make their own notes so that when we finalize the draft report, then they will add those matters that they have that we have not included in the draft recommendations. We still have to do Ingonyama Trust, by the way. We still have to do the commission, which means we must come back. Okay. Let's take a lunch break. We're coming back here at 2. We're going to the old assembly dining hall. And then, as we are up, African cars and double that. E triple four.
Where's E?
Thank you very much.